This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Top story today around the sports world, the NFL franchise tag window is opening. And it is expected that the franchise tag is going to be used for the second straight year on T. Higgins for the Bengals. That has a huge trickle down of repercussions for Cincinnati, the rest of the wide receiver market potentially, and then what else they do with their roster. So I thought it would be wise to check in with someone who knows the Bengals as well as anyone for today's Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
If the Bengals are the top story, you know where we're going. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 up in Cincinnati. Great friend of the show. Been a friend for a long time. Mo, appreciate you, my friend. How are we doing?
I'm good, Craig. How are you?
I am good, and I'm interested in some of your football players. I would like to take them. I'd like to bring them to Washington. The question is going to be the price, and we learned a little bit perhaps more about the price with T. Higgins with some reporting over the weekend, although it hasn't officially gone down yet. Reports say that the Bengals are going to franchise T. Higgins, which affects, you know, obviously how he approaches the actual contract that he's eventually going to want, as well as what kind of compensation it might take to get him if they do trade him away. But what was your reaction just broadly to the news that they are going to franchise T. Higgins?
Well, I think my reaction would have been a lot different had Joe Burrow not just spent the last 2.5 months talking about how they have to keep T. Higgins. And this has been really interesting because I think from about last spring until the night of December 9th, we have been operating under the assumption that 2024 was going to be the last season that T. Higgins played for the Cincinnati Bengals. And then all of a sudden, after they play the Cowboys on the 9th of December, a Monday night game, Joe Burrow, almost unprompted, starts talking about, we got to keep T. Higgins, calls him a need, and repeated this time and again over the final few weeks of the season. And then the Super Bowl gets here. He goes to New Orleans, and Joe Burrow went on every conceivable national outlet to talk specifically about T. Higgins. So he has changed the conversation. I think it's fair to say that he has probably changed the Bengals strategy as it relates to T. Higgins. And so now I think it's relatively, if you understand that Joe has a lot of pull and a lot of clout, and if you believe that he has worked behind the scenes to figure out a way to make this happen for all concerned parties, I think the news that T. Higgins is most likely to be a Bengal in 2025 is unsurprising. Where things go from here and whether or not they actually get a long-term deal done, I guess, remains to be seen. But I think relative to what we know Joe Burrow wants, finding out that the Bengals are going to employ a mechanism that'll enable them to keep T. Higgins was to be pretty expected.
So let me, before we go any further, ask you this. Is Joe Burrow right? Is T. Higgins a need for the Bengals?
I think relative to the rest of the roster, like, that's the thing. Like, it's easy to say, well, God, can you really pay Jamar? Can you pay T? And can you continue to pay Joe Burrow? Well, if across the roster there's a lot of other guys you want to keep, then the answer is no. But if you look at this roster, there's the guys who are making a lot of money who aren't T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are players they should cut. And so the Trey Hendrickson thing is a little bit of a different conversation because he is under contract for this year and he is an older player. But the reason this team was on the outside looking in the postseason was the rest of the roster stinks. So there's nobody else either worth paying or worth keeping. And there are a lot of guys they probably should cut. And when they do, they'll have a fair amount of money to spend. We can obviously debate how much T is in need. He's been on the team the last couple of years and they haven't won. The reason the Bengals haven't given him a contract extension so far is based on two things. Number one, he's hurt a lot. Number two, they've got a guy who plays the same position who's a better player, who they screwed things up with by not extending last year. And then Ja'Marr Chase went out there and won the Triple Crown. But look, they've tried it. Joe has said often over the last 2.5 months, we don't want to keep being the team that is allowing really good players to get away. And what he is referring to is there is a long track record the Bengals have of having a plan in place to replace a really good player and that plan not working. Go back to Andrew Whitworth, which is almost, 9 years ago. They had a plan to replace him. They telegraphed it. They drafted two tackles in 2015 in the first two rounds, knowing they're going to let Andrew walk at the end of the 2016 season. The plan did not work. They had a plan to replace Jesse Bates, a terrific safety, an anchor to their Super Bowl team a couple of years ago. They took a safety out of Michigan in the first round in 2022, gave him a redshirt year, a chance to play behind Jesse Bates. That plan did not work. They had a plan to replace Von Bell at safety. That plan was so bad, they went back and had to bring back Von Bell after he played with the Carolina Panthers for a year. There is a track record the Bengals have of, we're going to try to replace a really good player via the draft. Even Trey Hendrickson. I'd be willing to bet that the plan when they drafted Miles Murphy in the first round 2 years ago was Miles Murphy was eventually going to be the starting right edge and replace Trey Hendrickson. That hasn't worked. And so I think where Joe is right is, look, man, we've tried to have a plan to replace really good players. The plans haven't worked. So why are we going to do this again? Now, again, it remains to be seen what they do with the rest of the roster. They have to fix the defense. They have to upgrade the offensive line. They've got a lot of areas. But I think Joe is right in this regard. The Cincinnati Bengals, since Joe has gotten here, have had some really good players. They leave for whatever reason. Chidobe Awuzie would be another one, a starting corner, their best corner for years. They couldn't replace him when he walked in free agency last season. We have a track record of having good players when they leave because they either get too expensive or they've outplayed their usefulness. We can't figure out a way to replace them. We don't want to do the same thing with T. Higgins.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, is our guest here on the Hoffman Show. So is that, like, do they just have a bad scouting department? Is it because they are not, I mean, one of the things that I think we all look at around the league right now is the Eagles are able to do the things that they're doing in part because Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, allows Howie Roseman, the GM, to play with cash in a way that a lot of other GMs, almost no other GM in the league, has the freedom to do. And the Bengals, notoriously, are one of the most cash-poor teams in the NFL. They have not extended guys earlier, structured contracts in a way that can be cash-heavy. And so is that why they're not able to just retain or haven't chosen to retain those guys in the first place? And then you combo it with bad drafting? Like, what's the disconnect here? Well, they nailed Burrow. That wasn't too hard. They nailed Chase. That one wasn't too hard. They nailed Higgins. But they also got all these guys that you've talked about, some in free agency like Hendrickson, some in the draft like Bates. And then they decide to move on. Like, what's the combo there that's causing this to even pile up in the first place?
I think it starts with drafting. You're right. They nailed it with Joe Burrow. I could have made that pick. They nailed it with Ja'Marr Chase, which, you know, that was, we debated for months, Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase, both are
probably would have gotten either one right. Those two are pretty good.
Right, exactly. They got the T. Higgins, they got right. First pick of the second round of the 2020 draft. And I actually think the early returns from their draft last season have been pretty encouraging. But the bottom line is, number one, when they got to the Super Bowl in 2021 and the AFC Championship game in 2022, they obviously had a quarterback under a rookie contract, and they were starting the roster from scratch. They nailed it in free agency for a couple of years because they could just throw money at the defense, and they could just throw money at the offensive line. And you know, it's one thing to do that, and it's something else to throw money at the right guys, and they did. Trey Hendrickson replaced Carl Lawson. That was a guy when they signed him from the New Orleans Saints. A lot of us wondered, like, are his sack totals inflated because of situations in New Orleans? Well, it turned out he's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. They threw a lot of money at DJ Reader, made him, at the time, the highest paid nose tackle, free agent nose tackle in the history of the league. Well, who was DJ Reader before he came to Cincinnati and then was the anchor of some really good defenses? They took the money they had, and they had millions, and just threw it at the defense, and it worked. Well, what has happened since? Joe Burrow is making a lot more money. It's not quite as easy to just throw money at stuff. You can't overpay. You have to pay judiciously, and they have struggled with that. Their free agent class last year was a mini disaster. Geno Stone from the Baltimore Ravens didn't work out. What they've done on the offensive line really has not worked out to the extent that they would like, because now they're going to have to replace Alex Kappa, who they'll cut, probably have to replace Cordell Volson. But at the end of the day, it really is about drafting. You know, we talked about the Bengals' inability to replace players that they've let walk. And the two primary examples are the players they took in the first round of 22 and 23. Dax Hill has now been in the NFL for 3 years. First round pick of the 2022 draft, 31st overall. Drafted him to play safety. Will probably this offseason go through his third position change since he got to Cincinnati. Miles Murphy, edge rusher from Clemson, drafted with the idea that they were going to work him into the rotation on the edge, and then one day he would be a starter, had as many sacks last season as I have.
That's zero, by the way, for everyone who's listening.
Exactly.
Most very talented, not a sack artist.
I had a donut last year. So it's a lot. Like, it's never any one thing, but at the end of the day, they've done a poor job of acquiring cheap talent in the draft and getting those guys to provide almost instant results. And that's kind of why they are where they are.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Talk show host, not a defensive end. pleasure to have him nonetheless. Speaking of the guy who plays defensive end in Cincinnati. So if they franchise Higgins, and
either, you know, hopefully they can work out a long-term deal, or they're just going to pay him a boatload of money that is 100% cash to cap in 2025. That doesn't leave a whole lot of room for Trey Hendrickson, who wants a new deal. Now, they could just call his bluff and be like, hey, man, you got a pretty decent cap number for relative to your production. We're just going to keep you. But it also, if they're that tight on the cap, they save $16 million if they cut him. And if they can trade him, they save all that money and could get draft capital in return. So where do you think they stand with Trey Hendrickson on the keep versus cut versus trade? And then we can talk about the value potentially if trade is on the table.
Yeah, I think there is a desire for this to be the quietest possible offseason they can have, because the offseason the last couple of years has been dominated by a lot of outside noise. And some of that noise was created last year when Trey Hendrickson asked for a trade. And we all kind of laughed at Trey when he did that, because he got a contract extension prior to the 2023 season and then went out and had a great 2023 season. That deal had 2 years left on it at the end of the 23 season. He asked for an extension, and the Bengals said, no, we just gave you one. You have two more years left. Like, we're good. And by the way, that was, I think, the right approach. What has happened since? Led the league in sacks. Was a defensive player of the year. And so now he has one year left on his deal, fewer than a year ago. So what they expect is Trey is going to ask for an extension. And if he doesn't get it, maybe ask for another trade. And if he doesn't get it, I think they're really wary of a guy like Trey or anybody else doing what Jamar Chase did last summer, which is do the hold in, right? Every day. That was the story of camp. Well, Jamar is here, but he's not practicing. What color hat does he have on today? Oh, wait a minute. He might practice tomorrow. No, I mean, it took on a life of its own and lasted until the morning of the first game. So I think start there. They really want to do everything they can to avoid a noisy offseason. So I think just having Trey play out his final season is not something they want to do, because they think that's going to come with noise, whether it's a trade request, a hold-in, some sort of weirdness when training camp starts. Then there's what Joe Burrow has stated. And again, Joe, for better or for worse, his voice has carried more weight than anybody that I can ever remember as a player in Cincinnati sports. He is saying extend the guy. Okay, well, that means they're not going to trade him because I, as much as you can make the argument that maybe it would make sense to trade Trey given the year that he had, especially if you don't have real designs on extending him long term, I think Joe Burrow's words about Trey Hendrickson have changed the conversation, and now they're going to sit down with him and try to iron out something long term. I think there's some caution you have to exercise there, because he is going to be 31 at the end of the season. Chances are he's not going to have another 17 and a half sack season, but I expect them to work with him to get a deal done. Whether it happens, whether they offer Trey what he's looking for, I have no idea. But not unlike T. Higgins 3 months ago, I would have said the Bengals are probably just going to have Trey play out his last year. Now, because of the stuff that Joe Burrow has said, and because I think of a desire to go through the most quiet, peaceful offseason possible, they'll go ahead and acquiesce, try to figure out a way to sign Trey, try to figure out a way to sign T, try to figure out a way to give Jamar Chase what he wants, and then go from there.
Yeah, so the last piece of the puzzle is Chase, like you mentioned, who is on his fifth-year option. He'll make $21 million this year. So they can obviously try to do some kind of extension, maybe bring that cap number down this year. Like, there's all kinds of cap gymnastics that are potentially out there with a low base salary in year one, signing bonus, et cetera. It's always a fun thing. The GMs mostly care about the cap. Unless their owner is breathing down their neck on the cash part. The players don't give a rip about the cap. They're like, just give me, how much money can I get as soon as possible? Give me the money. So for Trey, though, if they ultimately look at Joe and they're like, Joe, we hear you, but like, man, you're making a lot of money. We're going to get your guy T. We got to take care of Jamar. We can't keep everybody. We got to, like, trading Trey is the best possible outcome for us here, because we can get some cap relief, which helps us do what you know we want to do on your side of the ball, and it gets us some extra draft capital. Does it take a first? I would doubt it, considering his contract, but like, what do you think it's going to take to pry Trey Hendrickson out of Cincinnati? And then what kind of deal is he realistically looking at for a guy who is going to be 31 years old, although he just had 17 and a half sacks?
Think he wants to be paid like one of the elite pass rushers in the NFL. What that looks like financially, you know, for a guy who is going to be 31 at the end of the season. You know, your guess is as good as mine. The Bengals are not going to trade him for 75 cents on the dollar. They're not going to trade him just to get something for him, and they're not going to trade him just because Trey asked for one. If they make a trade for an established player, it's going to be because they get back what they think is, if not equal value, perhaps even more. So I think it's going to take a lot. And look, the reality is Bengals have to overhaul their defense this offseason. They have a new defensive coordinator. They had one good player on defense. Now, there's a very good philosophical debate there, right? Like, all right, Al Golden, you're the new defensive coordinator. You've got to rebuild this defense. Hey, the one good player we had last year, we're taken away. Okay, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense unless you can reinvest those picks into your defense. But at the end of the day, I think Trey Hendrickson's going to be a Bengal in 2025. My guess is it's going to come via an extension. I would be willing to bet that they'll listen to trade offers, but you're going to have to knock their socks off to take away a guy who really was their only good defensive player last season. They're not going to trade him because Trey asked for a deal. If they did that, they would have traded dozens of players by now, because every offseason somebody asked for a trade. They had a guy, Jermaine Pratt, a linebacker, asked for one. It came out last week. If they trade Trey Hendrickson, they're going to ask for a lot in return, and I think to a large degree, understandably so, mainly because the quarterback is breathing down their neck to ensure that they pay the NFL's current sack leader.
Yeah, they're not going to get good offers. 31-year-old pass rusher.
Right, exactly.
You're immediately going to have to give a new deal. Like, Myles Garrett is a different case because he's Myles Garrett. And Trey Hendrickson's an excellent player. He's not Myles Garrett. Myles is also 2 years younger. And you're going to have to give Myles Garrett, you know, the biggest contract, the biggest defensive contract in the history of the league. But, like, Trey Hendrickson's not Myles Garrett. So I would be surprised if a team... Like, Trey Hendrickson's a great player, but, like, the weird thing is you go start to look at it, and it's like, I don't know that I want to give up more than the third for Trey Hendrickson. If I'm the Bengals, I don't know if I'm trying to make runs in the next couple of years, like, if that's something that I want to do. Last thing for you, Mo, kind of going back to the genesis of all of this, with Burrow really pushing the Bengals organization. Obviously, he's the most valuable asset. I don't know. Is it fair to say that the most valuable piece they've ever had, with all due respect to Boomer Esiason and, you know, some of those teams that made runs in the 80s and early 90s, Joe Burrow is probably the best Bengal in the history of the franchise. And that has seemed to change the way the franchise operates, because this is a team that notoriously has been, you know, cheap. I don't think that you would disagree with that the assessment from decades and decades of ownership there. So, do you think that if Joe has this much influence, can he change the way that they actually do business to get out ahead of some of this stuff, or is this Joe is going to spend the rest of his career as a Bengal trying to put out fires, and what does that mean for his relationship with the Bengals in the long term?
I think everybody views this as the next 3 years are time frame. Within the next 3 years, they have to win a championship. Quarterbacks do not win their first Super Bowl after their eighth season. He's been in the league for 5 years. They've got a core together. I think this franchise doesn't want to be in a place where in 2 years or 3 years, they're still looking to win one, because we've seen what that looks like. It's called Carson Palmer putting a gun to their head after year eight, saying, I'll retire before I play another down here. I think these next 3 years are crucial for this team, and Joe Burrow knows it. Joe Burrow knows he is holding all the cards. He's got all the leverage, and he also has the public on his side. So, I've never seen an athlete in town, certainly a Bengal, be able to flex muscles the way Joe has and is, and I expect it to only continue.
It's Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 up in Cincinnati. You can check out his show online on the apps, all the places that you can listen to radio these days if you want more of the Cincy perspective. Mo, really appreciate your time. Your perspective, as always, my friend. Hope you're well. Thank you.
You got it, man. Thank you.
That's Mo Egger with us here on The Hoffman Show. Coming up at 6 o'clock, take command style, Logan and I are going to talk about, the futures of Johnny Newton, Daron Payne,
and John Allen. So that's something to definitely look forward to. Coming up next, though, let's follow up on our conversation there with Mo. How interested are you in Trey Hendrickson if he becomes available via trade for the Commanders? We'll talk about that next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.